Save big money on your roofing project at Menards with Owens Corning Shingles. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements and enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning Duration Shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 24 colors of Owens Corning Duration Shingles and transform your home today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is an interior paint and primer in one with a tough-lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter paint at Menards and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. Welcome to On The Record with Chloe B, where I invite celebrities on to tell their truth behind the headlines. You can listen every Monday at 6 p.m. on Apple Podcasts, Spotify and YouTube.
So this week I'm joined with no other but the amazing Vicky Patterson.
Oh, thanks for having us, Chloe. Do you know, this is so mad, right? Because obviously you've been a guest on my podcast, which I'm super grateful for, The Secret 2. But that wasn't my first podcast idea. Before we settled on that format, we had a podcast called On The Record with Vicky Patterson.
No, are you joking?
So much so that when I heard about yours, I was like, has she done it with my producer? Like, I had to go and ask you. Like,
oh my God, stop it.
Yeah, and we were like just giving people the chance to put their like truth, sort of set this record straight. It was so bad. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, no, I know. And I was like, this girl is sharing my brain, so I can't wait to be on.
You know what it is as well? I know, you know what it is as well, Vic? So when I was trying to find like articles to talk about, obviously I wanted to talk about, you've got so many things we could talk about. You've been in the industry forever, so there's so many things we could address. And I was looking for... No, Vic, you're a shiny celeb. I was looking through and there was one and I was like, Vicky had to beg, borrow and steal to get clothes to go on to Geordie Shore or The Hair and stuff like that. And then I clicked on it and I was like, it's got a lot of similarities to me. And then I thought, oh my God, it's an extract from the podcast we done together. So I was like, when we both spoke about it, I was like, actually, we've already spoke about this before. I actually can't speak about this again. It's actually really funny though, because I do see so many similarities in me and you, and I feel like you're obviously such a big, like, you know, you always give me advice, you always come to me, you always send me lovely messages, so I really do see a lot of myself, or you see a lot of yourself in me, I think, Vic. So I'm really grateful that you're here to speak to me. I wanted to take a moment to mention, I get so many compliments and questions about my teeth. I had composite bonding at the Lovely Tooth Club. They have offers on each month and you can pay monthly. They're based all over Essex, Hertfordshire and Kent. So many of the team from Towie and Love Island have been there. Check them out on Instagram, Tooth Club UK, and don't forget to mention Chloe10 for an extra discount. Thank you to the Tooth Club UK for being my official sponsors of On The Record with Chloe B. But I just wanted to speak to you find out how you are, obviously, because one of the articles that did come out was about your recent health diagnosis. So how is that?
Oh, just, do you know what, Chloe, full disclosure, I'm just trying to hide this like this messy bit of my wardrobe at the back, so I'm like trying to position myself. Yeah, it's so bad. Right, so I have struggled with my periods since I was probably like about 30 years old. Up until then, I would absolutely just describe them as like normal PMS symptoms, which, don't get us wrong, is still no picnic. It's an absolute punch in the dick, PMS for most women. But once I hit 30, things just radically changed. And I suppose it was the more, the mental ramifications that I struggled with. I experienced what a lot of people associate with actual depression, you know, fatigue, things that bring you joy, you no longer find happiness in them. So it could be like, you know, you normally love going to the park or love watching films or love being around your mates or even just love being on your phone. And I can't do any of those things. Like I'm like irritable, I have insomnia, like all these sort of things, like they just essentially started building up and getting worse and worse. And they started, the duration that I would suffer with them for, but got longer and longer. It used to just be like 3-4 days around your period, and it's worked its way up now. So I'm 35, that was when I was 30. It's worked its way up to around 10 days before my period, where I just
really
completely lose all sense of myself. Like, I don't recognize myself at all. I'm irritable, I'm nasty, I'm fatigued, emotional, all the rest of it, you know? So I went to see doctors. I've been to see a number of different doctors and was told, you know, the same thing over and over again. It's PMS symptoms. Every woman is dealing with it. You just need to get on with it. They do get worse as you get older, blah, blah, blah. You know, various different excuses. And I was made to feel over and over again, like weak, ashamed, and basically just invalidated. And it wasn't until a couple of months ago now, I'd absolutely had enough. Like, it got to the point where I just thought the world would be a better place without us in it. 10 weeks.
Oh my God.
10 days of the month, every month, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Had dark, dark, suicidal thoughts. And I said, Erkan, like, I know something's not right and I have to do something about it. There's women online telling me it's not PMS. There's like gorgeous women on my Instagram telling us it's something more serious. And this sort of PMDD had been floated around quite a lot. So I took myself private to a little place in Brentwood. I told the doctor, the female doctor, what I was feeling and how long I'd been feeling it and all the rest of it. And I was really embarrassed because I've been told like a million times before, this is just PMS and every other woman's going through it, you know? So I was like, oh, she's going to tell us the same thing. She's going to think I'm dramatic or I'm just not strong. Anyway, she just listened to us really nicely and said, sounds to me like you've got PMDD. And I burst into tears, Chloe, because it was the first time in fucking years that somebody had actually listened to us, had, you know, believed what I said, and given us a potential diagnosis. So yeah, I started treatment for that. Like,
and what is the treatment for that, Vic? What is that? So basically, when I got diagnosed with polycystic ovaries, I felt like there was absolutely no treatment, basically, other than to go back on the pill. So I've always sort of thought that I do have symptoms of it. My mum's always clammy. I get a really hairy face. I get peach fuzz. I've always had symptoms, heavier periods than normal, even since I was younger. And to be honest, they put me on the pill so young. I was about 13 and I was like, go on the pill. And what it does is it doesn't rid of what you're feeling, it just masks the symptoms. So when I come off about a year ago, I was like, oh my God, I couldn't stand up. I would put a tampon in, go to the hair salon, come back and I would have bled through. It was that bad. So I went to the doctors and I thought, I need to know what's going on here. And all they said to me is, you've got polycystic ovaries, recommend you go back on the pill. So what was the treatment that they said to you to do?
Hey mate, this is why I'm left feeling pretty frustrated. It's the same. Yeah. The first point, your first port of call, you get off at antidepressants. Because PMDD is misdiagnosed as depression loads because it has so many similarities and overlap. But I'm not depressed. I love my life.
I'm strong.
I'm happy. I'm mentally healthy. What I have is PMDD. Yeah. It's different. Mm-hmm. And it's a hormonal disorder.
You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times. Or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months. Or the Rogue, heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst, so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Initial Quality Study Award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Order that links to your mental health, you know. So I don't want to be on antidepressants because 2/3 of the month I'm fine. So the next course of action was to try some different kind of contraceptions, which can take the edge off how I'm feeling. And it's not a one size like fits all thing. Everybody's body is different. Everybody's mind is different. You know, what works for one won't work for another. So for me, I'm on a moment, a pill called Yasmin.
I've heard of that.
Yeah. And a lot of women on my social media, I put a picture of it up. They're like, I tried this in my 20s and it was the last time I can remember being happy.
which honestly such a sad statement. So it's obviously got some benefits, you know, women are telling us that.
Yeah.
But it's too early for me to say, Chloe, because my diagnosis was so recent. Yeah. Like, I've only been on it about 6 weeks. It's too early for me to say whether it's helping or not. At the minute, like, I don't know. I can't tell you whether this has been the pill that's going to help me. Or, and also, I know I'm going to have to find other things that help as well. So I'm trying a plethora of different supplements and stuff to kind of combat what's going on in my mind. Because I can't keep living like this, you know. It's like a half.
No, you can't. It's so hard.
Yeah.
It's so hard. And I feel like when you speak about it, like even with me, like I would be at filming sometimes and I'd be like, guys, you need to give me a minute, I'm on my period, I'm having a really bad day. And they sort of look at you like, oh, okay, Chloe, do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, oh, she's being dramatic again.
Yeah.
And she goes again. But it's like, what they really don't understand is like my moods can be completely different as well, like even the fatigue and stuff like that. And
you're
just how heavy
person.
I am,
you're a different
completely
person.
Different person, and your body's completely changed as well. And that's the thing, yeah. You have no idea. You're looking at yourself, you put on a dress that looks amazing on you a few days ago, and now all of a sudden you look disgusting in it. Even my face goes unsymmetrical. It's quite funny. I say to my mum, what's happened to my face this month? And she's like, I'm closing your period, my face looks wonky. All these little things and these changes that people just don't really speak about, because I feel like as women we're sort of told, I'll just put up with it, it's what happens once a month, it's fine, is actually all these things that we need to bring to light. So once you spoke about your diagnosis, do you feel like a lot of women did reach out to you and sort of thank you for it? Did you have people that were suffering as well?
It's a mad one, Chloe. Like, whatever women are suffering from, you know, whether it is polycystic ovaries, PMDD, endometriosis, adenomyosis, like, we're expected to just get on with it, you know, and that's the frustrating thing. There is a woefully, like, there's a woeful lack of misunderstanding around women's reproductive issues. And that's why I went to Parliament the other week with Naga Munchetti to try and, I suppose, raise a bit of awareness. And ultimately the end goal is better education, better training for people in the NHS, better knowledge for women. Because I don't know about you, mate, but when I was at school, like, I put a condom on a fucking cucumber and they sent me on my way in sex education. I was just expected to, like, not get pregnant until I wanted to understand my periods, like, and that was it. It was brilliant.
Yeah, so, that as well. People just don't really speak about these things. I remember when I told my mum that I've got polycystic ovaries, she went to me, oh, Chloe, I'm so sorry to hear that. And I was like, why? Like, I still feel pregnant, then maybe chances may be a little bit higher, but I feel like there's such a lack of education about these things that when you do speak about it, I remember I was doing an article with a newspaper about it, and they was like, and how do you feel about the fact you might not be able to have kids? I was like, no, I still might be able to. Like, and I feel like it's that scaremongering that makes people so scared to speak out as well, or even get the diagnosis. Like, my friend, she's got two kids, she was terrified to go for a smear test because she's scared of the results. I said, you need to go because you need to find out. I think that the scaremongering actually makes it a lot worse as well.
And do you know, scaremongering is obviously horrendous, but it's a general lack of knowledge is the
100%. Yeah.
And misinformation is, I think, the biggest issue, because I suppose when I first posted about my diagnosis, nobody knew really what it was. So you've got like 10% of women in the UK who are actively diagnosed with PMDD, understand it, know it, are dealing with it. PMDD warriors, they call themselves, like, and after having struggled with it myself, I can completely see why. So 10%. The actual statistic could be so much higher, because people are getting not only like misdiagnosed, so its symptoms are similar to depression and ADHD, so women are often misdiagnosed with one of those two, but also like they're just getting on with it because they go to the doctor and they explain what's wrong with them and they are dismissed. They are invalidated. Mm-hmm. They are told, no, you have PMS. Get on with it. Every other woman's getting on with it. And then you get someone like me who's like, no, something's not right. I'm going to fight. I'm going to use my platform for good. I refuse to have this life. I deserve better. And then when I do come out and speak about it, right, you get some witch who goes,
otherwise.
Yeah, she goes, another celebrity creating an illness to stay relevant. And that's what you get from a woman. You get that, and I'm like,
always it's always from a woman and a mother. And honestly, and I see their bio, and it's like, I love my three kids and my dog, and I think, and you've just sent me a load of hate, and I can never believe it, because all you're trying to do is literally raise awareness and let people know that you're just, you know, you shouldn't have to suffer in silence. There is people that can help you and places you can go, and you always get some witch to comment. I find it ludicrous. I'll never get my head around it ever. And I would always think to myself, if I ever met this person in person, I wonder what they'd say. I always think that.
Safe,
I actually feel like they'd be quite nice.
They wouldn't say fuck all. Like, that's the thing. Social media has made people very comfortable with saying things they should have got punched in the
face. Actually, Vic, I've actually got another article for you here, which made me quite sad, actually. But Vicky Patterson's in tears after she hears people gossiping about her in the street.
Oh, shit, look, you proved us wrong, you little sneak. No, but they didn't say it to me face either, did they? They said it behind me back. No, they didn't.
So what happened? I read the article. You was walking, you smiled at a lady, you assumed she was smiling at you, and then she sagged you off and said you look different on a podcast. What is that all about? I just think, honestly, as she was just saying, I feel like social media and us being on TV and us putting ourselves out there, that is our choice and that is what we do 100%. And I always stand by that. We chose this life. But I just feel like it gives people such this sense of security that they can message us and say nasty things about us and that we're not going to feel it. So how did you feel in that moment, Vic? Have you ever had that before?
Like, back in the day, obviously, I was on a very controversial TV show and the way I behaved and the things I said were very divisive. And I was never going to please everybody. In fact, like, the way I lived was frowned upon by most people, you know, but it wasn't actually me. It was just the 44 minutes of show that they got out of 100 hours of viewing, you know? So
yeah,
I was used to getting a barrage of hate. Like, there's nothing anybody can say that.
And would that be in person, Vic, as well? Or was that over social media?
Predominantly over social media, but people felt very comfortable saying very rude and inappropriate things to me when I was like younger, I think, because of the show I was on, you know. And obviously, as I've got older and I've grown, changed, held myself accountable.
As we all do, Vic, I just feel like, you know, it's so hard. I was having this conversation with a friend of mine, like, you know, everyone goes out and gets drunk and falls over. The difference is yours was recorded and was on TV and plastered across the whole world, but everybody does it. So even now you're sitting there and having to say, I hold myself accountable for the things I've done. Don't we all? Like, it's actually crazy that, you know, I feel like it's such a thing for people in the public eye to sort of be made to feel bad about the choices they've made. We constantly do all the time. I'm sorry I did this. I'm sorry I did that. I've grown. I'm now this good person, which we all are. We're all good people. We just make mistakes. But I think it's crazy how even now you're still saying I held myself accountable for the things that I've done, when really you didn't kill anyone, you just went out and had fun, you know.
Yeah, I mean, don't get us wrong, Claw, like, it would be very easy for me to say like, oh, everybody was doing exactly the same things that I was doing. It was very kind of you to say that, but there are some moments that I did behave terribly, you know, and I do have to hold my hands up and say I had to really work on myself to be better. I went to therapy, I got a life coach, I distanced myself from things that I knew weren't good for us. I grew. So luckily for me, people have really recognized that. And I've been able to enjoy this sort of like next stage of my life, this next chapter, relatively unencumbered with quite hostile opinions and views of us, you know, which is why I think I feel really lucky. Got quite a nice community on Instagram. I do nice things, people respect it, blah blah blah. But I think it was why the wind was taken out of my sails so much when those girls said those things. Also, as well, like, it's just 2023. We're not doing that like mean girl bitchy culture anymore. We're super supportive of other women. Like, if they want to wear a face full of makeup, like, get it, queen. If we want to be more stripped back and natural, like, you do you, girl. I think I really believed, because I have that mentality, that everybody had that mentality, but I was proven wrong in that moment in my hometown nonetheless, which was truly
terrible.
It's
absolutely awful. Like, the thing is with me as well, is I actually forget I'm on TV quite a lot of the time, so the way I go out really reflects that. So the other day I actually went to Mini Tesco and I'm walking in.
You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times, or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months, or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. initial quality study award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown.
And I've got a hoodie on that says Spooky Squad. And it's terrible. Spooky Squad. And a pair of pyjama bottoms that don't match. I walked past a group of really good looking boys and I thought, I can tell they know I'm. So sort of staring at me and they're sort of thinking, is that her? Is that not her? But luckily for me, they didn't say she looks a bit different, because I reckon I would have cried in that moment as well. But I really did look unrecognisable.
And honestly though, it's like, we're not expected to be like proper glamour pusses 24/7. Like, as women, we have so much more to offer than just our appearance. We are mothers, we are daughters, we're badass CEOs. Like, we're getting shit done constantly. I think to reduce me to, you know, how much makeup I had on said a lot about that woman. And I don't know, evidently she sort of knew who I was because she made that reference. I hope she's seen the press since, and I hope she's rethought her train of thought, how she's living her life, because we all make mistakes. But yeah, we're better than that as women now, I think, and she needs to step up, man.
So moving on from that, Vic, so obviously you do say about how, like, you champion women in all ways. Is that why you think you made the decision? You know, you do a lot of the Instagram versus reality posts that you do. Is that why you chose to do that? Because I love them posts. You know what's actually funny? I was on my period and I was really bloated and I thought, it's all right, it's normal, because it happens to Vicky too.
That's it, girl. That's it, girl. Oh, mate, honestly, it's so hard, like, especially when you're a bit younger. Like, I hope I never come across as patronizing, Chloe. I just say so much of myself when I was younger in you, you know. And when I was younger, I wanted everybody, like, I wanted girls to think I was like glamorous and gorgeous and had it all figured out, and I wanted men to find us attractive and desirable and know they couldn't mess with us. You know, I wasn't the type of girl that would be cheated on or messed around or anything. Like, I was end game, and I wanted all these things. And like, I put so much pressure on myself to look a certain way all the time and, you know, be strong and all the rest of it, that actually it wasn't authentic, really. Like, because nobody's strong all the time, nobody's gorgeous all the time. Like, life's about light and shade, it's about highs and lows. And it came off the back of, I had a really hard year. It was really tough. So I lost my best friend. He passed away very suddenly. And he'd been the, like, heartbeat of our friendship group. And so vibrant and full of life, it floored us totally. And I think that was in about, like, the summer. And then the fiancé I had at the time, we were planning our wedding and everything, and then he went on a lad's holiday, fucking cheated on us. So...
Oh my god,
I know. So, and that all came out in the press. Like, nobody told me to my face. I had to read about it in the Sun. So
it's disgusting.
It happens, you know. And then like, I was still trying to put myself together after the loss of my best friend, you know, and then that happened, and obviously my relationship broke down. And then I lost my grandma in the January, who'd not been poorly or anything. She was just this amazing matriarch and a true strong northern woman, and I had no energy, Chloe. I had no energy to try and project this image of strength and perfection anymore. Like, I was broken, totally broken. And I let the veil slip on social media, you know. I started talking about my feelings. I started, this is probably 5 years ago now, like, I started being honest. I started posting the pictures of me eyes filled with tears, or, like, you know, me saying I was insecure that day about going somewhere, because all I could think about was I wasn't worthy, because the person that was meant to love us had chose someone else. It was horrible, mate. But I had no filter, because every single bit of my energy was going into just putting one foot in front of the other again. So keeping up any sort of facade, that it was impossible. So I started to do it, and a mad thing happened. Like, strange thing happened. Like, women responded well to it, you know.
And they will do, because I feel like so often we look on social media, even on TikTok, for example, it's like, spend a day with me, and you've got this woman rolling out of bed with a blow dryer and some amazing pajamas on.
Another fucking matcha tea.
Oh, they have a matcha tea, and I feel I haven't got time for it, and I definitely haven't got that blender. And I just think this isn't realistic, you know, it's just not. And I just think, you know, it's amazing, because, you know, it's so visually pleasing, but life isn't visually pleasing. And I think that's why people respond so well to you now, Vicky. You know, when you sit there and say, I'm quite lucky that you've got such an amazing community around you, it's actually not luck at all. It's because you've worked so hard to get these people to see the real you and see all the sides of you, that I think people respond so nicely to, because you are just a human. And I think that people in the public eye try so hard to not be a human, you know. We're sort of told always look the best, and always, you know, we've got to have these amazing relationships. And, you know, even now you're with Erkan and you're so happy and in love, it still must be all this pressure on you to think, oh my god, we've always got to be perfect. And it's so hard. You can't win, you really can't.
No, you can't. It is really difficult. I think what social media has done is it's made perfect seem normal. So now nobody's interested in normal anymore, which is like a real shame, because I think normal's beautiful, you know. Like, women are meant to have wrinkles, you know, we're like meant to have squishy bits, like relationships, you're meant to have some rows, like you're meant, house is meant to be messy sometimes, but you wouldn't know that some influencers ever have these moments because their life is so seemingly perfect on social media. So no, that was a real, I think, a pivotal moment for me, Chloe. It was a changing point. And also as well, like, mate, and you'll relate to this, like the amount of times I got papped looking shit, right? Like,
oh my
looking
God,
so terrible. I used to live just off Brentwood High Street, right? And like, the paps would be there, like, waiting to get somebody super interesting, like Chloe Sims or Pete Wicks or yourself, like somebody good. And instead, like, the guys had wrapped filming early or the, you know, whatever. And they'd get me instead coming out of Poundland with like stained leggings and bags of toilet roll. And it was awful because I was putting up these gorgeous, glamorous pictures of myself all the time. So, of course, people were going wild for these pictures of me looking like half human because they were like, fucking hell. Like, she did, you know. So I thought, you know what? I'm taking control of this narrative. So I started posting more pictures of myself that were just very realistic, very normal, very reflective of my actual life rather than that like 5% I was choosing to share on social media. And honestly, the pap stopped being interested in this because I fucking post far worse pictures of myself anyway.
So there was one of me, it was so bad. I was leaving mini things go again.
I've seen it, Chloe. You've seen it. I've seen it, mate. You put it on your TikTok and I howled at it so much. I was like, no, this girl is going to learn the hard way.
There's not really much I can do. Like, there's not really much I can do about it. I can either cry about the fact that I'm walking out of mini Tesco with a meal deal and some tampons, or I can really just own it and go, you know what? I did walk out of mini Tesco with a meal deal and some tampons, and I might name my autobiography after that, a meal deal and some tampons. You never know. I think you've just got to embrace it, you know? And I think, like, the fact that you post it on social, the place where we're most expected to be perfect, is amazing, Vicky, because I think, you know, I should start doing it a little bit more. I'm trying, you know, sometimes I take a filter off and I try and be that. But I think it's just the sort of like messages that you receive after that, like, oh, you look a bit different, and you just can't win. Like, and it's so hard. Like, and even I put up a nice quote the other day and it was like, I hope everything you deserve comes to you. And someone replied, yeah, me too, you bitch. And I was like, okay, well.
Honestly, mate. People are mad. Like, it is absolutely insane. Like, I used to be so concerned with people's opinions of us online, and I think it comes with age, just accepting, like, you know, I am who I am. I absolutely am not gonna please everybody. There's a saying, I think it was Lucy Spraggan told it to me, and it was so powerful. She said, you can be the nicest peach in the world, you can be the best peach on the tree, you can be fuzzy and plump and juicy on the inside and everybody wants to eat you, but then someone will just come along who doesn't like peaches, and you can't change that. Yeah, you can't change that person's mind. So there's some people online who, Chloe, will just be committed to misunderstanding you and wanting to dislike you, but that's not your problem. There's nothing you can do to change that, you know. So again, you can write the nicest posts, you can do the most amount of charity work you want, you can say good things, support women, post like realities versus instas, you can do all of that, and some people will just say that is that slag off the telly. And
you can't win. You really can't win.
There's nothing you can do about those people. You have to block them, you have to move on, and you have to focus on the people who do get you.
On the Record with Chloe B is exclusively sponsored by the Tooth Club UK. Make sure you check them out, as they've got clinics all over Essex, Hertfordshire and Kent. Check them out on Instagram, the Tooth Club UK, and don't forget to mention Chloe 10 for an extra discount.
So another article I've got for you, Vic, is I was a huge reality star, but I'd be cancelled if the show aired today. So obviously we've picked up on you taking complete accountability for your actions when you was on TV and stuff like that. But what I wanted to know from you is, when did you think you started to notice the change in reality TV? Because even for me, I started on TV nearly 5 years ago now, and I've even noticed really big changes in the way that they film things now. So obviously for you that started it, is it 15 years ago now, Vic?
Unfortunately, yeah, it makes us feel really 15 old. Years. But I look at reality TV now and it feels like a safer place. And like, obviously,
you won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times, or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months, or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst so you get its best. For JD Power 2025 US initial quality study award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. New models may be shown.
I
haven't done reality TV in a very long time. In its purest form, you know, like being lucky enough to do things like MasterChef and The Jungle and things like that. But I haven't done it in its very much like fly on the wall style documentary vehicle in a while. So from the outside looking in, things like Love Island, things like TOWIE, it feels like there's a better duty of care. It feels like things are slightly less invasive. It feels like people are sharing what they want to share. And it feels like if there are any sort of hairy moments, feels like the cast are protected a lot more, like in particular.
Yeah, so there's a lot. Yeah.
ITV just like last year, I think, opted to, you know, take away like the island as social media when they go in. I think that frustrating for obviously people trying to grow a following, I get, but also, you know, I think very sensible, very kind to take those sort of precautions. You know, it's not fair that people see the like these gorgeous people on the telly for like an hour a night and make these horrible assumptions and then go and troll families. It's just crazy. So I do see huge steps in the right direction in order to protect reality TV stars and stuff, but back in my day it was slightly different. There was less,
it's hard though, isn't it? Because I completely, and I think even when I first started on TOWIE, like obviously we still had sort of a welfare team and there was always very much on us, but I do feel like the change, I can really notice it now, like, oh, we can't speak about that, oh, we can't do this, oh, we can't do that. And they used to sort of be like if they knew it was true we could speak about it, and now it's like there's a very much a question of can this person mentally handle talking about this now. And I feel like that change has really happened in the last few years, where I can even notice it. And obviously I'm still sort of new into reality TV, so if I can notice a change, obviously you can see a massive change. And I think as well, like, the cancel culture is crazy at the moment. Like, it is, oh my god, it's terrifying. Morning I think to myself, is there been something right about me? Have I been cancelled? Hopefully not. I've managed to swerve it so far, but it is absolutely terrifying. And I feel like we all, well, maybe me and, you know, other people, just feel like we're constantly trying to avoid being cancelled for some reason or the other.
It's dead hard, mate. It's a really thin line. Like, you like to think you're a nice person who has like sort of really normal balanced values and that, but in this very, I think the word is like, it's a very precarious sort of society and culture. Like, you don't know how quick opinions are going to change and how quick things progress and how quick you can be saying something that's seemingly very innocent and PC, and it's, you know, it's no longer correct and changed. So I do worry, like, I do worry that one day I'll say the wrong thing. But all you can do is like hope that you're being kind, you're being nice, you're being supportive of others, and like everything you say comes from a place of authenticity and never malice. And then I do think you're all right. I look at some of the stuff people say and I just think, God, get yourself a publicist immediately. You're giving us anxiety.
All the time.
Yeah,
all I'm like, the time, oh. I think all the time. Obviously with TOWIE, we had like press training and stuff, so we was quite lucky. So like, I was 18 sitting in this meeting with someone going, basically, don't do this, don't do that. And I was like, okay, nodded along. Could you ever see yourself sort of returning back to reality? Obviously not the shows that you did previously, but like your life being recorded, like with Erkan or anything like that. Do you think you would do that or not?
Yeah, it's a hard one because I am actually a fan of reality TV, like despite everything, you know, I've said about my personal experiences with it, sometimes not always being sunshine and rainbows.
They're not going to be. That's the thing. Like, my experiences with all reality haven't been, because we're the ones that are going through it. So as much as it's amazing to watch, we're the ones that are crying because our ex-boyfriends left us, or we've fallen out of our whole friendship group. But that is our actual real life, and that's what makes it reality, you know? So I think that, would you return or do you not think so?
I don't know. Like, I've come so far. Like, you know, making sort of documentaries, writing books, presenting, podcasting, being recognized in a different space is an incredibly difficult thing to do when you come from the background of reality TV. People have a preconceived notion that you're essentially talentless and only good for one thing, you know, and it's very difficult to change those misconceptions. So I've been working for what, maybe it's 10 years to try and undo that. I don't know if I'd make the decision lightly to take steps back, but you know, honestly, who's to say if the right opportunity came around I wouldn't jump at the chance, Chloe? At the end of the day, I'm in this industry to make money predominantly.
Of course.
So if the listen, I'm going to sound really tacky here, but if the right price tag was attached to it, like, who's to say I wouldn't do it? I probably fucking
and also
would.
I think so many people as well, even though it's essentially a step back, I completely understand, because the things you are doing are so amazing, but I think it would actually be a really big step to show people the difference you've made in your life, because not everyone does see your social media, you know. And I think the last time people may have seen you may have been these shows, do you know what I mean? So then going on to a show with you, Erkan, and your dogs, and showing how you're a completely different person, I mean, I would definitely watch it, Vic. Oh, I would, and I would love it.
You're so sweet, but it would be like watching fucking paint dry, mate. It would be very boring. I can guarantee it would be really boring.
So the last thing that I wanted to speak to you about, Vic, was just about your egg freezing story. So obviously I've known about this, and obviously I've read about it and I see it on your social media. But the thing that actually shocked me was that when you shared about it, you actually received a lot of trolling. So I found that absolutely crazy. So what was that all about, Vic? And could you just tell us a little bit about the whole process with the egg freezing?
So I think it goes back to, like, initially what I was saying before about there being like a lack of awareness and education about female reproductive issues. We've been doing things one way for so long. People don't like change. They don't like change. And I think even less some people don't like a woman who knows her own mind and does things for her because it's right. So I thought in my head I was doing the right thing. I knew I was doing the right thing for me. That was never, there was never a doubt in my mind. Me and her kind of been together about 5 years at Christmas. He's only just turned 30. Our relationship, in my opinion, is still very much in its infancy. I want to be married before I have kids. That's my personal preference. There's no judgment to anybody who chooses to do it differently. But yeah, I knew we weren't ready to have kids, right? So I said, it'll be devastating if when we are ready, my body is no longer in a place to make that possible, you know? So I'm going to freeze my eggs. And I'm going to document it on social media because I don't think there's enough women talking about it. I certainly didn't know what it entailed and was...
I don't know too much about it.
You know, why would you, mate? You know, in my 20s, like, all I was thinking is, fucking don't get pregnant. Never mind, like,
yeah, but I think it's important. But it's so important too now, you know. Let's be honest, everyone is having kids older now. They are. That is a fact. It's well known. Everyone is having kids older. My mum had me when she was 25 and that was deemed a little bit old. And now it's sort of, everyone's having kids 30 plus. So and I think that, you know, it is, yeah.
It's very northern as well, very Geordie as well, mate, to be fair. Like, but then, you know what, Chloe, honestly, I'm even going now to get my eggs frozen, they're calling my eggs geriatric. Like, they're they're calling them geriatric. So these women, it's not discussed enough, you know? So women who are going like, oh, I've just met this fella, he seems nice, but like, babies aren't on the horizon, I've got plenty of time. They can go to have a child at 40 when they feel ready and find out that their body can't. And that's heartbreaking. So in my head, I just thought, right, let's talk about this. Let's get it out in the open. Let's discuss my process. And I thought it was responsible to give women an alternative to, I don't really like this bloke, but I'm 37 and I think I should have kids. So I'm just going to have them with him anyway. You know, that because loads of my friends have done similar things.
I know so many people that do that.
Who have panicked knowing that they aren't quite with the right man, but know they don't want a future without kids. So do it with the wrong person and then end up having to have the fallout, you know? And it's not nice. So I thought, you know, I'm just going to provide a different option to that. And the hate I received really took the wind out of my sails, mate. Like, you know, I don't understand why you're doing this when you can have kids naturally. It's very, you're in a very privileged position to be able to do this. It's just not realistic.
You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times. Or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months. Or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. initial quality study award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown.
The most. And I never, ever said, like, lasses, everyone, get yourselves down to the local egg freezing bank and do it. It's cheap as chips. Yeah. I never said that. I was aware it was expensive. I was aware I was privileged. And I made sure I said that every time. But no, I think... maybe there's a lot of women out there reading it who did feel pressure to have kid with a wrong man and subsequently are mad, mm-hmm. that I've had the opportunity to do it differently. Maybe there's just women out there who feel really passionately like that you shouldn't mess with Mother Nature. Or maybe there's just people who don't like things they don't understand. And it could be any of those plethora of reasons that led them to have this real strong feelings of hate and spit that vitriol at my post.
I find it crazy. I find it mad. Like, all you was doing is, and obviously it's not really an enjoyable process either, is it really? And you're sharing what goes on in that process. Yeah, so you're sharing that process, which isn't a nice one. You're not exactly sitting there going, oh, I love it, it's amazing. But you're just trying to make awareness for people and you still get shot down. I think it's just basically the whole theme throughout this is that you can't win. Or nobody can, really.
And you know, it's so unfair. I feel like the trolls often get like the most sunlight, and that's a real shame, because actually I've got 5.5 million followers, and I'll see,
oh my god, we get so many nice messages, like, you know, and I see you do, and the thing is as well, like, even sharing your egg freezing journey, I can imagine you got so many people messaging you thanking you as well,
saying lovely things, mate. And I come off social media in the end because I was like, I'm not in the best place mentally here. I just had my hormone injections upped again because my eggs weren't egging, for the want of a professional term. So I was feeling super emotional and fragile and vulnerable. Those are probably the best words. And I just said, listen, I thought I was strong, but evidently I'm not strong enough to take this barrage of criticism at this point, going through what I'm going through. So I'm going to take some time for myself. So I came off social media, and this night I had a message off a girl, and she said, and I'll cry when I say this because it always gets me, but she said, just so you know, I'm sorry you're having to take some time off social media. I'm going through the process at exactly the same time as you, and none of my mates understand. She said, I felt like I had no one to talk to. She went, but every night when I did me injection, she went, I'd come online and make sure you'd done yours as well. And she went, I felt like we're doing it together.
Oh, that's so nice.
I know.
Oh, that's so lovely.
And in that moment, I thought, you know what? You're better than this. You're bigger than this. Yeah. You're stronger than this. Like, don't let a couple people who don't understand your choices, which they don't have to. They don't don't let them scare you off doing what you know in your heart is a good thing for women. So, no, I came back on after 4 days off, and I was like, haha, I am actually that
I'm back.
There's
so much good, and I feel like people in this industry as well, they actually really build up a lot of resilience. I think that there's been so many times, even for me, where I thought I can't do this anymore, and it is always then one, but it's like in my mind I always think that God sends a sign to me, and it'll be like a little young girl coming up to me and asking for a picture. It'll be like someone sending me a nice message, and I think, this is why I do this. I don't do it so that I can feel beaten by these people that send me hate because they don't know me. I do this so I can help people feel happy and make them feel a certain way. So I feel like that's such a nice message to spread to people with. So to end, all I wanted to ask is, obviously you always say that you see quite a lot of myself in you, and you know, what advice would you give to your younger self when you first started this industry? What advice would you give?
Oh, fuck me. It's such a tough one. Obviously, this is for me, not you, Chloe. So, but I'll take little bits of it. Yeah, take what applies to you, and just ignore the rest. I was like, looking back, I was positively radioactive. So I'd probably tell myself to slow down on the fake tan slightly because that was obscene. I do look like a sickly Victorian child today. I'm getting a spray tan tonight, but I've mastered the like bronzed glow rather than just like straight up tango man. So yeah, so I tell you that, I do that. You know, it's ironic, I'm saying all this and I wouldn't listen to myself. I think who's this miserable old cow giving me advice? I was so headstrong when I was younger. I thought I had it all figured out, and of course I didn't. I would love to have saved myself some heartbreak as a kid, you know. So I had some really bad relationships. But then, God, Chloe, if I potentially hadn't had one of those spicy fellas, maybe I wouldn't have found what I really wanted, and I wouldn't have known myself and found Erkan. So I don't know, you know, it's hard to say, because everything you do, good, bad, mistakes, grazed knees, bad chapters, whatever it is, that make you who you are, that lead you to being this version of you. And yes, I've had some moments that, like, I still cringe at, babe, like, we all have.
Yeah, I have them, Vic.
we all do, but ultimately I wouldn't be becoming who I am now if I hadn't done them. Yeah. So I like to say, you cannot be old and wise if you haven't been young and daft. So I think I had to have done me silly things in order to grow up and be better. I will just end on this, like, I regret ever hurting anybody in any way. And when you're young and selfish, and in pursuit of something, which in my head has always been money, which is very true, you know, and success. Mm-hmm. But then potentially you don't always make the right decisions for other people. So yeah, I would say if I've ever hurt anybody, I regret that. But other than that, listen, I am who I am. It's making us who I am, and I'm quite liking who I'm growing into. Oh, she's not too bad.
I like her too, Vic. I think she's lovely.
Oh, and you know what, mate? Some advice for you is, listen, you know how I feel about you. I think you're great. Don't let anybody tell you you're not brilliant and you're not perfect just as you are, but don't allow other people to influence you either. Because you...
Oh, thank you.
You know your own fucking mind, mate, okay? Just have courage in
Oh, I'm making me want to cry. Thank you, Vic.
We're
both going to be sobbing on this podcast. Both sitting there crying, both quite emotional.
Yeah, I'm such a fanny. I'm surprised I haven't cried more, to be honest, girl.
That has been On The Record with Chloe B. Thank you to the Tooth Club UK for sponsoring this episode of On The Record with Chloe B. With thanks to Blank Box Studio for their amazing podcast space. If you are looking for anywhere in Essex or near to London where you want to do photo shoots or host your own podcast, make sure you drop them a message via social media. Please comment underneath who you would like to be our next guest, and make sure you catch our next episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify and YouTube.